The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
I talk a lot about balance on this program. I take issue with Beth Moore because I believe that she is unbalanced, leaning to the left. Has she completely departed from biblical theology? No, didn't say that. Didn't imply that. But I think she's unbalanced, and I think she's headed in the wrong direction. And I think that's sad, considering what an incredible Bible teacher she is and the incredibly positive impact she has had on so many for so many years. And by the way, I am not the only person in conservative circles that are concerned about Beth Moore and her leftward drift. I am far from being alone. Now, let's go to the other extreme. All right. Listen to this headline. Miami megachurch pastor tells congregants not to take COVID-19 vaccine. Here's the story. Founding pastor of the Miami-based King Jesus International Ministry, Guillermo Maldonado, and the news source also wants us to know who also is a loyal supporter of President Donald Trump. Now, what does that have to do with this story? Nothing. That's absolutely nothing, but they wanted you to know he also supports Donald Trump. Warned his congregation Sunday not to take the coronavirus vaccine because it is being used to prepare the world for the Antichrist and the one world order. Beginning at about 1 hour and 45 minute mark in a 3 hour service, Maldonado invokes scripture from Revelation 13 after telling his followers at one of the largest Hispanic churches in the U.S., listen to this, that God told him that during the pandemic, he is releasing, and I quote, divine immunity, divine protection, divine health for those that believe in his power. Okay, so God told this one pastor that if you just have faith, you will not get COVID-19. All you got to do is have faith. You have immunity. Really? What about people like John Hagee, a word, faith, name it, claim it preacher who almost died of COVID-19 and was in the hospital for more than 2 weeks. He cited Revelation 13:16-17, which says of the Antichrist, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. He said that the vaccine is the fulfillment of those scriptures. What? He said, people, I want you to look at me. That's exactly what's happening with COVID-19. They're preparing the structure for the Antichrist. Well, okay. Compare and contrast what this guy, a word faith preacher, is saying about the vaccine and what John MacArthur has said. John MacArthur, in an editorial last week, said that this whole COVID-19 thing could be setting the stage for the Antichrist. Now, that's true. So is the global warming thing setting the stage for the Antichrist. And I've been saying that for years. When the Antichrist appears, he has to have a worldwide cause big enough, bad enough, important enough that all of the nations of the world are willing to give up their sovereignty in order to solve a problem that only the Antichrist can solve. Okay? I think it could be the whole global warming climate change thing. We're all going to die. And so we've got to give up our sovereignty, give all of our authority to one man, one government, in order to save the planet. I think that is far more likely than COVID-19. Now, however, this worldwide system of distribution and so forth, could that be setting the stage for the Antichrist? Yeah. Is this vaccine the mark of the beast? No. He went on, how are they going to do this? The vaccine. They're going to demand that you have the vaccine in your passport. In other words, wise, you will not be able to travel because they're preparing the way and so forth. Extremes, folks. Stay away from the extremes. He goes on in his sermon, talks about what God told him this and God told him this and has told his congregation, do not get the vaccine. Now, whether you receive the vaccine or not is completely up to you. You search out the science. You do what you think you're comfortable with. I'm not ready to take the vaccine. I'm high risk. Am I opposed to it? Not necessarily. I got to look further into it. I would want to consult my personal physician, my doctor, who is a wonderful born-again believer that I have great confidence in. I would want to talk with him. So am I absolutely opposed to getting the vaccine? No. Am I sold that I will get it? Not yet. I may be. But there is no biblical foundation whatsoever for this guy to say, God told me not to get the vaccine, you're immune. In fact, he said, God told me that he is releasing, and I'm quoting, divine immunity, divine protection, divine health. That's baloney. That is baloney. I will say it again. The devil lives in the extremes. Stay away from the extremes. God gave you a brain. Use it. And when you hear someone, I don't care who they are, I don't care how important they are, check what they say with Scripture. And be very cautious when any preacher stands up and says, God told me X, X, Y, that is extra biblical. You know what I mean by that? Extra biblical. Not necessarily contradicting Scripture, but something that is in addition to Scripture. There's nothing in Scripture that tells this guy, I don't care if he is a megachurch pastor, there is nothing in Scripture that says God is going to give immunity to a pandemic to anyone who just simply has enough faith. Nothing in Scripture that says that. So when he says God told him, it is extra biblical. Well, it's almost anti-biblical. It's close. And here's what's going to happen. The first time, and his church is big enough, it's almost positive. Somebody in his church is going to die of COVID-19. It's just the odds. And the first person who dies of COVID-19 in this guy's church the news media is going to go crazy. Stick with Scripture. Please, stick with Scripture. Stick with preachers and pastors and evangelists who give you the Word of God, not some vision they had after eating too much pizza.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
I just realized we're about three-fourths of our way through the long winter. Yeah, I don't know what to call it. Abbreviated broadcast day. Every year, beginning November 1st, we have to sign off at 5 p.m. Old, outdated, antiquated FCC rules and regulations that have no use whatsoever today. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. They serve no purpose whatsoever. Don't get me started on that. But anyway, it is what it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. So November and December, every year we have sign off at 5 p.m. Well, this is the 14th, so we're, no, wait a minute. We're not three-fourths. We're, well, anyway. we're getting closer to the end. Beginning in January, we get at least 30 minutes back. We go to 5:30 sign off, and we're talking about our AM signal, AM 880. Those of you that are listening on 104.5 FM, you don't even notice because you're not affected at all. And those of you that listen by streaming, you're not impacted at all either. But time is going by fast. Well, the woke cancel culture is reaching now to the Cleveland beep beep. Well, I can't say the word on the air. The Cleveland beep. Oh, can't. It's a baseball team, you know? You know what I'm talking about? The Cleveland beep. Say, what are you talking about, Bob? The Cleveland, can I say it? Indians. The Cleveland Indians are dropping their controversial team name. Yes, they are the latest in the parade of politically correct woke culture, cancel culture. Yeah. And I've said this over and over again. I would absolutely stand against anything that is denigrating or insulting to any group, ethnic group, racial group. I would be absolutely opposed to anything. But when you choose a mascot, this is common sense. This is not rocket science, okay? When you choose a mascot, you choose a mascot not to denigrate it, but to honor it. I went to a high school in Compton, California. The name of the high school is Dominguez, and everything was Spanish themed because of the history of California, and everything at our school was Spanish themed. So our mascot was the Dons, D-O-N-S, the Mexican, I don't know how to describe them. They weren't aristocracy. They weren't exactly cowboys. They were kind of cowboys, but they were Dons. They were Spanish. And the school, which was established, I believe in, I think it was built in 57, I think it was. Yeah, I think so, because my sister was the first graduating class, which was 58. Anyway, they chose the Dons. Now, they didn't choose the Dons because these Spanish people were a bunch of goofballs that we could make fun of. It was something to be honored. It was something to be not idolized, but to look up to. You don't choose a mascot to denigrate someone or something. Now, my wife went to Maslin High School, and right now in our home, she is shouting, "Go Tigers! Go Tigers!" Oh, yes. My wife is a firm and proud Tiger fan. Well, why did Maslin choose the Tigers? The tiger is a strong animal, a fierce animal. It wasn't because they were easily beaten. You know, that's why you don't have a high school calling themselves the Pussycats or the Kittens. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a high school, their football team, the Kittens? What's your mascot? We're the Fighting Kittens. Cleveland Indians had been called the Cleveland Indians for 105 years. Yeah, but what about Chief Yahoo? Or no, Wahoo. Not Yahoo, Wahoo. That was a figure to be honored. He was a chief. He was a warrior. And the Indians were chosen because of their strength. It was to honor them, not to denigrate them. This is nuts. But they're dropping the Cleveland Indians name. However, they're going to be called the Indians until they come up with another name. The team said, quote, "We are committed to making a positive impact in our community and embrace our responsibility to advance," here you go, "social justice and equality." Really? Maybe they could be the Cleveland Kittens. Oh, that'd be great. Cuddly, soft. I like that. The Cleveland Kittens. Yeah. Has a nice ring to it.